Good morning, church. Let me start with a question. Have you ever had a conversation with someone and later on you realize that they misunderstood you? Anyone? I think it happens all the time, especially in marriage. Am I right, husbands? Sometimes our wives will say to us, I would like for you, or sometime this week, we can clean out the garage. But this is what we hear as men. As I'm going to Target, I want you to clean the garage today. Same words, different message. In fact, that just happened to me 2 weeks ago. My wife is a teacher, and she was on her spring break. And while she's on spring break or any type of break, she likes to do something. Either a quick vacation, spring cleaning, or a small project. So she decided that she wanted to build a small patio. So this is what I heard. Hey, sometime around my spring break, I would like for us to get together, plan out our patio, and in those 5 days, we'll start building the patio. But this is what she said. Hey, on Saturday, I want us to build the patio. Why? Because I say so. I have the tools. It's called you. So we want to build it. I totally misunderstood what she meant. And that took us to a small misunderstanding and a little bit of a small argument. But not the argument where you are playing ping pong. The argument where the room feels heavy. There's something in the air or outside the patio. And there's an elephant. But the elephant was me, being passive aggressive. Why does she want me to do this today? She said we were going to do it in the week. Makes no sense. Why? But there's a rule I learned, that happy wife, happy life. So we build the patio, and you go see a photo of it right here. Yes, I'm proud of it. I'm not good at it, so please don't ask me to build one for you guys. But at the end of the day, our marriage was still intact, and yet I learned the importance of clear communication. I should have asked her, what do you mean by building a patio? When do you want them built? I know the why. You want me to build it. I get that part. But when? So it's a clear communication that I learned to have. Now, you may say right now, I'm not married. Don't worry about it. I got something for you too. Have you ever sent a text message that was totally misunderstood? Maybe you send a text message with capital letters, !! And the other person sees it as, why is he screaming? What's happening? Why is he or she mad? And maybe you didn't mean that. Or here's another one. Instead of answering with okay, the letter O and the K, you answer with the K. And now you're confused. Like, is that person being sarcastic? Are they making fun of me? Like, or they reply back with a thumbs up. What does that mean? Right? My son does it all the time. So I had to tell my son, I need full sentences with periods. Right? That's what we need, because I want to be clear. Periods. But church, miscommunication, it's part of life. We all be misunderstood, and we all misunderstood others. But here's the big question today. Is it possible that Jesus is just misunderstood, that we misunderstood Jesus? That Jesus is just misunderstood? That's the question we are going to wrestle with this morning. And honestly, it's one of the most important questions we could ever ask. Because how you see Jesus shapes everything in how you follow him. How you see him shapes everything in how you follow him. So if Jesus is loving, if Jesus is kind, if Jesus is good, why was he crucified? Why did they kill him? Why was he rejected? What does his rejection say about human nature? What does it say about us today? If you are new with us, We are in this series called Who is Jesus, where we are answering questions to get to know Jesus better. And today we are going to go deep into what happens when people get Jesus wrong and what it means to get him right. So first of all, Jesus has always been misunderstood. Not just in casual one-on-one conversations, but with crowds, by entire crowds, by his own people, by his own family, he was misunderstood. In fact, one of the most powerful moments in the gospel shows us how badly people miss who he really was. And the gospels are the first four books of the New Testament. So we are going to look at John 12, verse 12 to 15, because in this passage, we see a moment that starts with praise, but quickly moves towards rejection. And that shift tells us something, not just about the crowd back then, but also about us today. So let's read. John 12, verse 12 to 15 says, "The next day, the news that Jesus was on the way to Jerusalem swept through the city. A large crowd of Passover's visitors took palm branches and went down the road to meet him. They shouted, 'Praise God! Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hail the King of Israel!' Jesus found a young donkey and wrote on it, fulfilling the prophecy that say, 'Don't be afraid, people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming, riding on a donkey colt.'" So as we are reading this, Jesus is going into the city. People are saying, "Praise him! Hail the king!" They are receiving him good. They are loving him. They're shouting his name. And something we can see with this crowd is this point. The crowd had expectations. The people welcomed Jesus as a political savior, not as a suffering servant who came to be. They thought he came to overthrow Rome, the government of Rome, not die for their sins. They were expecting they would go freedom from the Roman Empire. That's how they saw Jesus. That's why they welcomed him that way. That was their expectations. But I want us to see another crowd that had expectations for Jesus as well. Now, this crowd, it's a little bit different. They just saw Jesus do an amazing miracle. He just fed over 5,000 people with just two fishes and five loaves of bread. So I want us to see how the crowd reacted to this. John 6, 14 says here, "When the people saw him do these miracle signs, they exclaimed, 'Surely he is the prophet we have been expecting.'" When Jesus saw that they were ready to force him to be king, he slipped away into the hills by himself. So who were they expecting? They were expecting Jesus to be a prophet. And Jesus was, "No, I'm hiding right now." So just like the crowd in the beginning, they completely misunderstood Jesus' role and his call. And honestly, we still do the same today. Sometimes we welcome Jesus for what he can do for us and not for who he is. We want him to be the hero of our story, but not the reason of our story. So here's the question that I want for us to wrestle. Do we have expectations on Jesus just like the crowd did? Are we following because we love him? Or because we are hoping he'll fix something for us? Are we looking for a savior who serves our plans? Or are we surrendering to his plans? Because that crowd that shouted, "Praise him, praise God," later on, they shouted, "Crucify him." They didn't change because Jesus fell down. They changed because Jesus didn't fit the version they had of him in their mind. Jesus didn't fail. The crowd just had expectations. And we do as well. Sometimes we put Jesus in a box. And well, We have expectations. While the crowd has expectations, Jesus has expectations too. But they are not about political power or popularity. Jesus didn't ride into Jerusalem expecting praise. He came expecting obedience. He came to call people not just to admire him, but to follow him. And let me give you an example here. Maybe about 5-10 years ago, Facebook had something where you can like a person or follow a person, or like a page or follow a page. I never understood the reason of why they have both. But I did a little bit of research that if you like a person or you like a page, what happened there is that you'll see things of them, but not everything, just parts of what they are posting. So you can like. But following is different. When you follow, you see everything. Every little thing they're posting, it comes on your feed 24/7. Big difference. And sometimes we like Jesus and we like his post, but we don't want to follow him. We don't want to surrender to him. We want to, I like this verse. Oh, nice. Good, Jesus. I like it. Jesus, take the wheel. That's a great post. Like. But we don't follow him. And there's a big difference between liking something and loving something and following something. And this is what Jesus says in Luke 9:23. Then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my followers, you must give up your own ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. Let me read that again. If any of you wants to be my followers, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and let's say this together, and follow me. Jesus expected hearts to repent, not just hands that will wave branches. He expected people to surrender, not just celebrate, but to surrender. He wasn't looking for fans. He didn't want his video to go viral either. He wanted us to follow him. Jesus expected the crowd to recognize that his kingdom was different. But we are expecting a king that acts like the world acts. But Jesus' kingdom is 100% different and out of this world. As Jesus is being judged by the governor Pilate, they're asking back and forth, asking questions. And he's like, who are you? What are you? Are you God? Are you the king? Who are you? And this is what Jesus responds. My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would fight to keep me from being handled over the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus' kingdom wasn't built by force, but through love, through sacrifice, and truth. That's why he rode on a donkey, not on a war horse. He came to show love and peace. Even though he knew that they would reject him, he didn't care about public approval. All he cared was for people to see him and see his kingdom and they could surrender to him. As Jesus is entering Jerusalem, he does something different. And I want to give you a different example before I read this verse. Have you ever driven to Memorial Bridge in D.C.? As you are going to, you see this beautiful bridge. You see the Abraham Lincoln Memorial, the statues, the river. It's such a beautiful view. Every time I drive there, either with a guest, with a family member, I tell them, wow, I can't believe this is my backyard. This is so awesome. Spider-Man was in that corner, right? I'm like, this is great. This is beautiful. And at the same time, I'm also praying, Jesus, help me be the light. I want to be the light in D.C. I want to be the light in Nova. So every time I go there, and I go there a lot for doctor appointments, I'm always seeing that beautiful view. And it just reminds me that I have a job to do. So Jesus is entering the city. And this is what he does. This is what he says. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people will understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. The crowd has been blinded. They couldn't see the peace that Jesus brought. How I wish today that you of all people, and he's talking towards the city, that's everyone in the city, will understand the way to peace. Church, the crowd wanted Jesus, but they really didn't understand them. They wanted to have Jesus, but Jesus was not going to fulfill the crowd's plans. How often do we try to do the same? We want Jesus to fit our own expectations. We want Jesus to do our own will, our own stuff. But it doesn't work that way. So the crowd had expectations. We have expectations. Jesus also has expectations. That's what we just saw. So I want us to go to another point that we can see with the crowd. And this is the other point. The rejection came quickly. The crowd that once says, "Praise God, Hosanna in the highest," shouted later, "Crucify." And I want us to read it because I want us to feel it. This is what happens. Luke 23. But they keep shouting, "Crucify him, crucify him." Why? How does a crowd go from loving Jesus to hating him? How? Was Jesus misunderstood? Church, he wasn't misunderstood. Jesus has been clear about who he was from the very beginning. And let me give you an example. Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman in John 4. And they are having this conversation go back and forward. And Jesus was clear to her of who he is. So this is what happened. Let's read this. The woman said, "I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus told her, "I am the Messiah." How clear can you be? I am the Messiah. That's clear as ever, church. He's not sugarcoating it. He's not hiding it. He's saying, "I'm the Messiah." And that's truth. Jesus spoke truth. Jesus lived with purpose and constantly pointed people to the Father. But here's the problem. Here's the problem with the crowd. And with us too. Jesus didn't fit their expectations. He didn't meet their timeline. Jesus didn't follow their plan. Jesus wasn't rejected because he fell. He was rejected because they didn't match what they wanted him to be. Jesus has been clear since day one. So that takes me to another question. Do we still reject parts of Jesus? Do we still just like some of his stuff but don't like the other stuff? Simply because it doesn't follow what we want, doesn't follow our plans? And here's the battle with this, church. This is the battle that I think we all have, even the crowd. It's the battle of change. When we truly follow Jesus, change is not optional. It's inevitable. And we don't like change. No one does. Maybe that's the reason why I didn't want to build a patio. I didn't want to change. Nobody likes change. But Jesus will challenge the way we think, the way we live, and the way we love. And the only way to do it is by changing us. It's going to happen. But just like the crowd, we often resist him. We want Jesus to work around our desires instead of us submitting to his direction. And just like them, we can be praising him on Sundays here at New Hope, and tomorrow we are shouting something different. Maybe you're not saying crucify him, but maybe you're going back to your old sins. Rejecting him, pushing him away. So let me ask you, are there places in your life where you are holding on to your own way, knowing that Jesus is calling you for a change? Let me give you a story. In my last 7 or 8 years here in Virginia, I have done 2 radical changes in my life. One was moving from Memphis to Virginia. The other one was moving from Virginia, Stafford, to Northern Virginia, a different church, which is here in New Hope. So I want to go back to my first change. I was comfortable in Memphis. I had a stable job. People knew me. I had connections. The fire department knew me. The police department knew me. Not because I was doing bad things, but because I worked with them. It was fun. Churches knew me. I led over 20 VVSs in Memphis. I was connected all over Memphis. I was good. I was comfortable. I still remember that my pastor, Mario, back then told me, "You sure you want to live to Virginia? It's traffic world down there." I mean, yeah, you sure you want to start all over again? All the hard work you've done, you just go dump it out to the trash and install over again in Virginia? I didn't want to leave. I like barbecue. I like my sweet tea. I like all of that stuff. I like being with my family, with my mom, with my sisters. I was good. I was coming to a different zone where I didn't know no one. Like no one. And I'm being honest, no one. But a month ago, I finally understood why God made that change for me. Because I just found out a month ago that the church I worked for many years, the church that believed in me and shaped me to who I am today, is closing. The pastor is retiring, and the church is retiring with him. That's not... That's hard for me to hear and even to say it right now. But God was protecting me from something there. He knew that was going to happen, even though I didn't know that was going to happen. And he was bringing me to a different place. And thanks to that change, I met my wife. I built a patio. And now I'm with you guys here in New Hope. And I see these beautiful faces here. That's change that God does. But church, sometimes, camera guys, I hope you're ready. He needs to do this in our lives to clean us out and us do the change, for us to change. And I know many of us are going through changes right now, whether it's job loss, whether it's family change, whether it's health things. I know, I get it. But when you trust Jesus, it's going to be okay. You need to surrender to him. Don't just like pages. Don't just like his post. Follow him for who he is. Provider. Jireh. He's there. And trust me, I know change. We don't like change. I had an opportunity to go back to Memphis. 4 months in Stafford. My boss, I almost lost my job. My boss came to me. He's like, "Yayo, you got an option. Option number one, you go back to Memphis. And we'll make it work. I'll call your boss. You'll get your job back. I'll give you money so you don't have to be broke. Or we start a church in Spanish and we figure it out on the way. Walk on water with me." My inside wanted to be like, "Well, I can go back to Memphis. I know everything there. I'm comfortable there. I'll be safe. My mom's there. If I lose my job and I don't find a job in Memphis, I'll be good." But that wasn't God's plan. I had to be obedient to it because Jesus is looking for a surrendered heart. And that's before I met Joanna. That's before all the blessings this God has given me. I had to do a walk of faith. And that's what we have to do, church. We have to walk even when it's hard to see. Never in my imaginations I would think that the campus I used to work for was going to shut down. Never. I was thinking of retiring at Bellevue one day. That didn't happen. Church, Jesus knew he would be rejected. But guess what? Jesus still came. He still loved. And he still gave his life for you and me. Romans 5:8 says this: "But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us as we were still sinners." He still loved us. He still gave his life for us. Even when sometimes we turn around and go back to other selves, he's still there waiting for us to come to him. So there's three things I want us to see here about Jesus. Jesus came in peace and love, fully knowing the crowd would turn. He knew the crowd was going to say, crucify him. He knew that. But remember this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And guess what? That includes you. Today, 2025. For God so loved you. For God so loved New Hope. For God so loved DC. For God so loved the world. Here's another thing we can see about Jesus. Jesus didn't ride away when he was misunderstood. In fact, he kept moving closer to the cross. He kept moving forward. Even when they were saying, crucify him, he kept moving, he kept going forward. He didn't stop. He didn't turn back. He chose the cross. He carried our shame. He carried our guilt. He carried everything that is awful about us and took it to the cross. Why? Because he loves you. Because he cares for you. So the day you believe in him, you have a relationship with the Father. That's why. I want us to look at one of his last words that Jesus says in the cross. He says, it is finished. Tetelestai, it is finished. But he didn't say, I am finished. Two different words. Same words, different message. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I am finished. What is finished? Guess what is finished? The work is finished. The sacrifice is finished. The payment of our sin is finished. But he's still here with you, with us, waiting for you to come to him and to surrender to him 100%. He doesn't want you just to like his post. He wants you to follow him completely. The door is open. The invitation is clear. Jesus is waiting, and his love never changes. Isn't that beautiful? We have someone that still loves us. Maybe today you don't feel that. Maybe today you don't feel that no one loves you. Jesus loves you. Your church loves you. You are not alone. But we wrestle with our own ways. We want me. I want me. I want to do my will. Yesterday, we had a wedding here at church. And as I was talking to the couple, I told them, hey, you need to love your spouse as Jesus loves the church. That means you got to be patient. You got to give your life for your spouse. You got to give everything. You got to build a patio one day. That's love. That's what you got to do. But Jesus needs to be the center of it. And marriage is not 50% him or 50% her. Marriage is 100% all. And Jesus is the center of it. Yes, we'll have trials in marriage. Yes, I will have to build a patio one day. But God's love is the same for us. And if I do this, and if I love like Jesus loves, I will love my wife and my wife will love me 100%. And that's Jesus with us. He's not in 20%. He's all the way in. And we have to find a way to move our expectations away from it. Jesus loves when we don't get it. Even when we reject him, he still loves. Even when you turn your back. Even when you unfollow him on Facebook, he still loves you. Jesus is not looking on his Facebook and saying, oh, X person, unfollow me. Well, you know what? I'm unfollowing you back too. He doesn't do that. He's there. When Jesus was on the cross, we get one of the clearest pictures of his love. This is what we see. Father, forgave them, for they do not know what they are doing. Even as he's suffering, even as he's hurting, he's still fighting for us. He's still fighting for you. Father, forgave them, for they don't know what they are doing. Think about that for a second. Jesus didn't respond with anger or revenge. He responded with mercy. This is not just a powerful moment. It's a clear message to all of us. Jesus' love isn't based on our behavior. It's based on his character. That's who he is. It's not based on how good I am. It's based on his character. Even in Jesus' deepest pain, hurts, he was thinking of others, praying for the very people who were crucifying him. That's what real love looks like. That's clear, church. I don't know if you can see it, but that's clear as it can be. It's a love that forgives, a love that doesn't give up, a love that is not just for back then, but guess what? It's also for now, 2025. There is no misunderstanding that kind of love. It's bold, it's sacrificial, it's clear, and it's available for everyone. So, was Jesus misunderstood? Yes, then and now, but not because of him, because of us, because of our own expectations. That's why he was misunderstood. We often want a savior who fits into our plans instead of following the one who invites us into his. That's why we need to surrender to him. Even when we misunderstand him, Jesus never turns away from us. He's still waiting for you. He keeps pursuing you. He keeps loving you. He keeps inviting you into a deeper relationship, a true relationship with him. So the question is not just about who is Jesus. The question is also about will you receive him for who he really is, a loving father. Not just a miracle worker, but a suffering savior. Not just the teacher, but the king, the Messiah. Not just the helper in a story, but the reason of our story. Jesus should be the reason why we wake up every day. He's still calling us today, church. He's still loving us today, and he's still waiting with arms wide open. So you may say right now, Yayo, what's next then? I hear this message, Jesus is clear. How can I move forward? Well, in your take-home sheet, there's a section called Responding to the Real Jesus, Not the One We Created. So in my last 4 minutes I have, I'm going to give you 6 applications, that's your homework, in how we can respond to the real Jesus. Number one, reflect on your expectations of Jesus. Have you put Jesus in a box? Do you want to do your will or do you want to do his will? Ask yourself, have I created a version of Jesus that's more about me? Number two, surrender control. That's a hard one. Surrender to him completely. Maybe there's something in your life right now that you don't want to give. Surrender to him. Give it to him. Remember this. Jesus doesn't want you to be included in your life. He wants to lead it. He wants to guide it. He doesn't want to be part. He wants you to trust him to lead it. Number three, recommit to following the real Jesus. What does that mean? Well, ask those questions. Am I following a Jesus that I don't understand? Or do I want to follow the Jesus that I do understand, which is the loving, the caring? Number four, engage with Jesus through scripture. This is a powerful one. You want to get to know the real Jesus, we need to read the Bible. And there are many ways here at New Hope you can read the Bible. Number one, you can join our Bible reading plan that we have Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Mondays, we have a YouTube channel where you can dive in with us. Tuesdays, we have CR. Yeah, we got CR on Tuesdays. Students, today, 5:45, we got takeover. And they're having fun here to learn about Jesus. Come, join us. Wednesdays, sometimes I have, well, not sometimes, I do have my young couples on Wednesdays. Thursdays, young adults, we have them. And also, our journey classes will start soon. Next week, we'll go more into details. But the only way to know Jesus is by being with others that want to know about Jesus. That's how we grow. We got to stick together. We got to grow together. Here's another one, another application. Extend grace like Jesus did. Luke 23:34 says, Father, forgive them. Maybe God is asking you to forgive someone today. Or maybe you need to forgive someone. And that could be sometimes a little bit hard. But we are called to change and to show the love of God. Here's my 6th one. Invite someone into a conversation about Jesus. The reason why people don't get Jesus, because there's no one there to teach them the real Jesus. It's our job as believers, as fully devoted followers of Christ, to share them Jesus, the real Jesus, not the one we created, the real one. We need to take time. We need to Spend time with people. Church, what would happen if we start doing this daily? How would our lives look like? How would our church look like? And I'll be honest, I think it'll look good. I think our country will change. Our neighbors will change. Because it's about Jesus all the time. And we have a responsibility to do, and that's to share Christ. Pastor Rusty last week said that the country needs Jesus. And yes, it does need Jesus. Who's going to take him to them? We need to take Jesus. It's our job. It starts in us. The way we live, the way we react with other people, we share who Jesus really is. So church, be careful with your expectations. Don't let that hold you back from the real Jesus. Because Jesus has been clear since day one. He loves you, he cares for you, and he's the Messiah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, today I pray that as we are listening to your word, that we don't make the mistake of putting you in a box. Lord, we pray that we can surrender to you completely, that we can give you our everything. Lord, we pray this in your name, and we say, amen.